Good grief. Eugene!
Mr. Whittaker!
If there were only some way to distract him for a minute.
Who, Eugene or the bull?
Oh, the bull, Dan. Wait a minute. Yeah, are these bulls sensitive to loud sounds?
That's a nice idea, but we can't make a noise louder than this crowd.
No, but Eugene can. Eugene!
Mr. Whittaker! Yeah.
Eugene, turn on your tape player, your amplification device.
The device, Eugene! Hurry!
Turn it up!
Eugene, the device!
Turn it up!
Charging!
Now, Eugene! Go, go, go!
Go, Eugene, go!
Rapido, oh, rapido!
Go, Eugene!
Hurry, Eugene!
Eugene!
Am I dead?
No, Eugene. You're very much alive.
Oh, Eugene, are you hurt?
I don't know. And that's Eugene.
Well, we know your mind's normal anyway.
What?
You did, Eugene. You bested El Toro. Listen to the crowd. You're a celebrity, mi amigo.
I did it. I bested the bull. I'm a celebrity, too.
Ay, he's fainted.
Well, so much for our great celebrity. Come on, let's get him out of here. You lift him by the... Eugene, you've pulled some pretty good ones in your time, but I think this takes the cake.
I'm inclined to agree with you, Mr. Whittaker.
How in the world did you manage to get yourself locked inside the arena?
Well, I came out here to look for the restroom, as I said I was going to do, but I couldn't see the word baño anywhere, so I asked a policeman for directions, and he said the restroom was right through that door. Well, the next thing I knew, the door was shut, the bolt was locked, and I was trapped inside.
A policeman, huh? Did he look familiar to you, Eugene?
Well, come to think of it, it did cross my mind that I had seen him somewhere before.
That's because you have, yesterday in our hotel room.
One of Cordova's men?
Undoubtedly. You know, I can't believe he'd resort to this kind of violence.
I told you the archaeological world can be very cutthroat when it comes across a good find, Mr. Whittaker.
Well, maybe we better get out of here before something else happens. Come on.
Paragraph 34. We left the arena and returned to our hotel rooms. I applied liniment to my bruises while Maria studied the map and its ancient symbols.
Well, what do you think?
I think it is a good idea you did not try to follow this map on your own.
Why?
It is incomplete.
What?
See. You see here? This part of the map has been torn off.
Well, can't we go without it?
That would not be inteligente, señor.
And why?
Corazón del Diablo's honeycomb with hundreds of cave openings. Each of them has one of these symbols above it, and just inside each of those openings are dozens of other openings, all with symbols above them. The whole thing is like a giant maze. If you have the guide, it's a fairly simple process. But if you don't have the guide, and you make one wrong turn...
You could be wandering around in there for a very long time.
Por muchísimo tiempo, sí.
Well, isn't there any other place that symbol could be located?
Not that I am aware of. Unless...
What?
Look at the map. You see these symbols scattered about that look like pyramids?
Yes.
Those mark where the ancient Aztec temples stood. All of these symbols come from the temples themselves, including the symbol that marks the entrance to Corazón del Diablo.
Well, then, all we have to do is go to a temple and copy down the correct symbol.
But didn't Cortez destroy all the temples when he conquered Mexico?
Not all of them. There's still one left standing at Santa Cecilia. But there's another problem. There are hundreds of symbols, and we still don't know what this one looks like.
Maybe we do. Look, aquí. Under the temple symbols, there is a sun with a beam shooting out of it, and a number.
That could mean anything, a longitude.
Or a compass point.
They didn't have compasses back then, did they?
No, but they did have sundials.
Sundials?
See, at every temple.
So what are you saying? That when the sun causes the dial to point at these numbers...
The dial is also pointing at the correct symbol.
But how can we be sure it's the symbol that marks the entrance to the Corazón del Diablo?
Look at what's drawn under the cross.
A sun with a beam shooting out of it. But no number.
What do you think, Whit? Do we go?
Are you kidding? How far is Santa Cecilia?
1 hour by car. But we cannot go now. It will be crowded with visitors. We must wait until after dark. We will go en la noche. tonight.
Paragraph 40. We knew Cordoba would be watching the room, so it was decided that only Maria and myself would go to the temple, leaving Mr. Whittaker and Dan Isidro behind as decoys. At dusk, we took the original copy of the map and snuck out the window of our hotel room. Dan Isidro was right. Two stories is a lot higher than it looks. Once we reached the ground, we piled into Maria's very small and very used car and set out for Santa Cecilia. Once certain we were not being followed, we stopped at a dry goods store and purchased two heavy-duty flashlights, used to simulate the sun since there would be no light to point the dial, and a modern-day map of Mexico, which we would use to pinpoint our location. Paragraph 41. We arrived at the temple site slightly more than an hour later. It was a huge stone structure, bathed in moonlight, stately and splendid in its grandeur. This temple is incredible. I've never seen anything quite like it.
Perhaps when this is over, I will bring you back here in the daytime. It is truly magnifico.
Of that, I have no doubt. What is that structure atop these stone steps?
That was La Casa de Dios, the God House. It was where the sacrifices were kept. Behind it, we will find the sundial. Follow me.
Okay. Huh. Must have been very difficult to get the animals up all these steps.
Animales? What animales?
Well, you know, the ones they sacrificed.
Oh, mi corazón. Mm-hmm. They did not sacrifice animals.
But you just said they kept sacrifices in the godhouse, remember?
Sí, but not the four-legged kind, the two-legged kind.
Two-legged? Do you mean to tell me that they actually...
Sí, mi corazón. The Aztecs were a noble people, but they were also very brutal. They built temples que eran fantásticos, and they committed unspeakable evil in them. But that was hundreds of years ago, mi dulce. We are much wiser and more civilized now. Come.
Hmm.
This is it. The sundial.
Maria, look at all the symbols carved on the wall and here on the floor. There must be hundreds of them.
But we are only interested in one. Where are the maps?
Oh, right here.
Hold my light, por favor.
Of course.
Now, let's see. Santa Cecilia is right here. And on the Cortez map, the only temple that comes close is este, this one. This must be the one. There are no others even close.
What's the number under the sun?
Siete. Seven.
Stand away from the dial. All right. Now, the Earth's rotation would cause the sun to follow a path from east to west, which is in this direction. So, theoretically, all we have to do is have our flashlight follow the same course.
Dos, tres, cuatro, cinco, seis, siete. Stop. That is it.
What's the symbol? Can you see it?
Sí, sí. I see it there. La boca de toro. The mouth of the bull.
Here, hold the light while I trace it.
Sí, bien, bien.
The mouth of the bull. There. I'll just put this with the map for safekeeping. And we're all set.
Excelente. And now, mi corazón, you will give them both to me.
Maria, that's a gun.
See, and I do know how to use it. Please don't make me have to. Hand over the map.
Very well. Here. Maria, why are you doing this?
Because Eugene, my boss, told me to.
Your boss?
She means me, amigo.
Inspector Cordoba.
Hola. It is good to see you again.
Maria, I can't believe it. All along you've been working for Cordoba?
Let's just say that he found me first. I'm sorry, Eugene.
So what are you going to do with me?
Do not be afraid. A night in the open will do you good. Tie him up, Maria, and then we will collect my treasure.
We'll have more of today's adventure and odyssey right after this. Now, back to the adventure.
Paragraph 65. I was found a few hours later by Mr. Whitaker. He and Dan Isidro became concerned when we didn't return and came looking for us. They untied me, and as we drove back, I informed them of Maria's treachery.
So she was in with Cordova all along. I should have known.
Well, you can imagine my astonishment.
I'm glad we didn't tell her about our copy of the map.
Right, so what do we do now?
Well, I'm going after them. I've invested too much time in this to quit now. If you two want to stay here, I understand.
Stay? You think we're going to back out of this just because the going's gotten a little rough? Hardly. If Eugene is feeling up to it, we're in.
Mr. Whitaker, I'm feeling quite up to it.
Then it's settled.
Gracias, mis amigos.
All right, then. What's the plan?
Well, it'll take at least 2 days to get there. The country's very rough. They only have a few hours ahead start on us, so I think we should go back to the hotel, gather our provisions, and head after them.
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Paragraph 70. We left within the hour. As Dan stated, the going was very rough, but despite that, we managed to make good time and gain a great deal of ground on our opponents. Because they didn't know about our copy of the map, the element of surprise was on our side, and by nightfall, we had actually caught up with them and made our camp less than 2 miles from theirs. Paragraph 71. That night, an incident occurred, the significance of which escaped me at the time, but which later proved to be very revealing. We had just finished talking about our plans for the following day.
I think if we go cross-country, we may be able to outflank them and get there first.
They won't be far behind us, though. How'll we get back out?
I don't know. I guess we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Ow!
What's the matter, Eugene?
Well, just between us, Mr. Whitaker, my posterior region seemed to have become a magnet of sorts for mesquite and cacti thorns. I hope you won't take offense, Mr. Isidro, but while I find some of your native region to be quite lovely, on the whole, I've discovered it to be relentlessly arid, unyieldingly rugged, and ready to prod, jab, stick, and otherwise poke my person with all manner of rock and branch at a moment's notice.
That's why they call it the desert, Eugene.
Well, perhaps. I, for one, much prefer the greener pastures of Odyssey.
You know, legend has it that this place once looked a lot like Odyssey.
I find that most difficult to believe.
No, really, it was supposed to be lush and green, full of fruit and flowers and trees, and supposedly it was all because of one of the Aztecs' ancient gods, Quetzalcoatl, the feathered serpent.
Oh, yes, I've heard of him. He was the god of wisdom and enlightenment, wasn't he?
And so the story goes. The local people believed that he was tricked by some evil spirits into doing some bad things, and he was so sorry, he turned all the trees into cactus and mesquite. So if you're having trouble with the plant life around here, Eugene, blame Quetzalcoatl.
Very well. But what a quaint legend. Almost as charming as the one about the cross of Cortez being embodied with supernatural power.
Yeah. It does kind of make you think, though.
About what, Dan?
Well, they say there's some truth in every legend. When it comes to the cross, you can almost believe it. I mean, think about it for a minute. Cortez was just an average man, nothing special. In fact, he was really less than ordinary. And yet unbelievable success came to him. With just a handful of men and a few horses, he conquered an entire nation and toppled the greatest and most warlike of all American empires, the Aztecs. Now, how did this less than average man do all that?
Well, Dan, I think the story of Cortez is fascinating, but the cross is just a cross. It's an incredible historical artifact and a valuable find, but that's all. It too will pass away, right?
Yes, of course. Hey, we better turn in now. We've got a big day ahead of us tomorrow.
Yes, a big day indeed.
As I said, the significance of this conversation was not apparent to me until later. Paragraph 81. We arose just before the crack of dawn the next morning, and after gulping down a rapid breakfast, headed across country toward La Boca Toro. Dan was correct. We did outflank our opponents and arrive first. It sounds foolish now, but somehow we actually believed that we could retrieve the cross and be out of there before Cordoba arrived. We hit our vehicle and matched the symbols on the map with the one above the tiny cave opening. Our hearts pounded with excitement as we crawled inside. Once out of view, and at Mr. Whitaker's insistence, we pounded a stake into the ground and attached a blackened rope to it, which we threaded along with us as we made our way through the caverns. If the map was wrong, we'd at least have a way back out. Paragraph 82. The map wasn't wrong. Every symbol matched perfectly. We drew closer and closer until, finally...
This is it. The last opening.
After you, Dan.
Indeed. It is your moment.
The opening is big enough. We'll all go in together.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Look there.
Magnificent.
Oh, my. The cross of Cortez.
There's a light shining on it from the ceiling. There must be an opening up there.
Well, Dan, go claim your prize.
Thank you, Whit. Whoa!
What is it?
Part of the floor just gave way.
The floor? Shine your light down there. Good grief, Eugene. Whatever you do, don't move forward. We're on the edge of what looks like a very long drop.
Yes, sir.
The cross must be resting on a shelf jutting out from the other side. I knew it wouldn't be this easy.
But there must be some way over to it.
Yes. Shine your light over this way, Whit.
Do you see a way?
I believe so. Yes, there's a tiny ledge that goes all the way around. See it?
Yes, and it looks awfully small, Dan.
I'm not going to give up now. I can't. Just keep your light ahead of me, Whit. I can make it.
All right, Dan, but be careful.
He inched his way around the ledge, slowly, carefully. His foot slipped a few times, but he held on, driven by a determination built up over a lifetime. The footage ticked off like a countdown.
Can do it.
10 feet. Now 9. Now 7. Soon 5. He stretched out his arm, straining to hold on, straining to reach. And with one last great effort, his fingers encircled his long-awaited prize. The cross was his for about 5 seconds.
Excelente, Isidro. Muy bien.
Cordova.
And now if you will be so good as to bring me my treasure.
Never, Cordova. I'd rather drop it down this cavern first.
Do that, and I will drop your Mr. Whittaker and his young friend in after it. The choice is yours.
All right. I'm coming back.
A wise decision. I must confess, I am surprised at your presence.
So am I. How did you get here?
Well, Mendoza, we made a copy of the map, one you fortunately didn't know anything about.
Of course. I should have realized. Well, I congratulate you on your fortitude. Ah, you're back safely, Isidro. Now give the cross to Maria. Do it, pronto!
You better do it, Dan.
Take it.
I am truly sorry.
No need for sorrow, my dear. The best man won.
Wrong. The best woman won. Don't move, Cordova. No one move.
What are you doing, Maria?
It would seem she isn't immune to greed either.
This has nothing to do with greed. I don't want the cross for myself, but for my people.
You mean you don't work for Cordova?
A two-bit corrupt official? No. I work for my people.
What are you talking about?
I am talking about power. Spain once ruled the world. Men like Cortez conquered. I know the legends of the cross. It will make my people great once again.
Maria, please put that gun down. It might go off.
It will if you do not do as I say.
No, you don't understand what
I'm
trying
to say. You will never get out of here, Maria. I have too many men outside.
You didn't think I would be foolish enough to come here alone, did you? The moment I exit the cave, my people will be waiting for me. Now stand back, all of you!
All right, we will. But please, just don't fire that gun.
Mi corazón, you really are a coward, aren't you?
Well, I am not. The cross is mine.
Wait, what is that?
It's what I've been trying to tell you. You shouldn't have fired that gun. These cavern walls are only held together with loose sediment. That bullet ricocheting off the walls is causing the sediment to slide.
Then we're in danger of a cave-in. Let's get out of here.
Quickly, come on.
Go.
Flashlight, this way, down here.
We're trapped.
What do we do now?
Wait a minute. There's more light in here now than there was before.
Look, Mr. Whittaker, up there. The collapse of the wall must have made a larger hole in the cavern ceiling.
We still have lots of rope. Eugene, you think you can climb up there and secure a line for the rest of us?
I can certainly try, Mr. Whittaker.
Wait a minute. Why should he go?
He's the lightest and most fit, that's why. Get going, Eugene, and be careful.
Yes, sir.
Watch it.
Whoa!
Careful, Eugene.
Watch it.
Whoa.
Great.
A little higher.
You're there.
All secure, Mr. Whittaker.
Then I am first.
Why should you go first?
Because I still have the gun. Stand back. Adios, amigos. By the time you get up, I will be long gone.
The wall's giving way. Get under the opening.
Cordova, look out.
Oh.
Cordova, are you all right?
But where is the cross?
Down there, about 10 feet down. See how the light shines?
It's the cross. Give me the rope.
Dan, what are you doing?
I'm going down after it.
Not if I get there first.
Listen to me, you two. This place is about to fall apart. We've got to get out of here.
I'm not giving up now.
Dan!
Wait,
Maybe the cross does have power, real power. Do you know what that would mean? I could use it to bring thousands of people to Christ.
Dan, you're becoming obsessed with this. Look at me. Look at me. Dan, it's only a cross. It can't save anybody.
The cross! It's gone.
No. No.
I'm sorry, Dan. But we've got to get out of here. Now, come on, help me with Cordova.
Paragraph 102. Maria, Dan, Mr. Whittaker, and Cordova all made their way safely to the top, and just in the nick of time, for as soon as Mr. Whittaker emerged from the hole, there was a final rumble, and the cavern was sealed for good. Cordova went back to his men, and Maria to her people. We should have turned them over to the authorities, but we were miles from the nearest town and slightly outnumbered. Paragraph 103. As for us, we made our way back to Mexico City. 2 days later, we bid Dan Ysidro a fond farewell as he boarded a plane back to Nicaragua. That night, while reflecting on the events of the past few days, something Mr. Whittaker said in the cavern popped into my head. Mr. Whittaker?
Yes, Eugene?
Back in the cavern, you said that the cross can't save anyone.
That's right, Eugene.
But is that not contrary to what Christians, in fact, do believe?
Not at all. See, Eugene, the cross symbolizes what we believe, that Christ died to save us from sin. It's very precious to all believers, and that's why we revere it. But just like it was wrong for Cordova to want the cross to make him rich, and for Maria to want to use the cross for political power, so it was wrong for Dan to think that the cross had the power to win souls. See, the cross itself doesn't save anybody. It's what Jesus did on the cross that saves.
I wasn't sure I fully understood Mr. Whittaker's answer, but it certainly gave me cause to ponder and reflect. E. Meltzner, signing off.
I'm glad Eugene is going to ponder and reflect about what Witt said. It's important to remember, the cross is a symbol of what we believe, but it's what Jesus did on the cross that makes it mean something. Adventures in Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Dave Arnold, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.